during the break or after the meeting so we can contact you as a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Michelle from San Diego. Michelle M.
My name's Michelle, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm actually a little bit nervous. I spoke here a few years ago, and I wasn't, and I was trying to think of why it matters. And the thing is, I'm a self-centered alcoholic. When I go to meetings, I'm thinking about myself most of the time. And it's quite possible you're thinking about you right now. And that's normally a really nice, comforting thing. It makes me not worry. But the thing is, tonight this room is full of people that I love and that love me back. And that means you're probably listening. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. But before I had people who loved me and that I loved back, I was, and I still am, incredibly self-centered. I suffer from perpetual thinking about myself. I think about myself all of the time. And that started long before I had a drink of alcohol. I believe I was born an alcoholic. I was always worried about what I was going to get, what I wasn't going to get, what you were going to take away from me. I worried a lot about what people thought of me and if I was behaving appropriately for what I thought you wanted me to be. And that was long before I had a drink. I have this one recollection of me playing with my toys when I was little, wondering what somebody would think if they were watching me play with my toys. And I don't know if that's normal behavior for a small child or not, because that's all I've ever known. And I think that's part of the reason I thought maybe I was a little bit different than other people, because I didn't know if everybody thought the way I thought. I daydreamed constantly. I wanted to be somewhere I wasn't. I wanted something I didn't have. I grew up in a great family in a great neighborhood, but I just wanted it to be different. I wanted something else. And pretty quickly, and I felt a lot. I was a very big feeler. And one of the things I remember a lot is my mother saying, you know, would you just lighten up? And I didn't know what that meant. And I also thought a lot. And I have another memory of when I was a kid. I was trying to fall asleep at night. And my father came in to tuck me in. And I was saying, I'm having trouble sleeping. And he said, you know, just close your eyes and quiet your mind. And I don't think I said it out loud, but I remember distinctively thinking, well, what about the other voice? You know, and not like a schizophrenic voice. Well, maybe. But like that other part of my brain that just would not and could not shut off. It just ran. Even as a little girl, it just was always running. But again, I was raised well. There, you know, my father did drink, but he wasn't an alcoholic. Well, I think he might be now, but that's because I know about alcoholism and I know about the thinking patterns that we have. But there was no abuse. I never wanted for anything. I went to a good school. I had a good education. I was involved in sports. I have an older brother. We were good friends. We got along. And I didn't drink. I didn't drink at all because, you know, I followed the rules. I behaved. I did what I was supposed to do. I did well in school. And the first time I did take a drink, though, was about a month before my 18th birthday. I went away to college. And one thing that was a big part of my life when I was a little girl was I was very well supervised. My father had me check in constantly. So I could go over to Ashley's house so long as I told him I was going to Ashley's house. Or I could go to the movies as long as I said, okay, we're going to the movies now. But it's this constant checking in. And so I always felt like I was being supervised. And then I went away to college up in Northern California, and for the first time, I didn't have to call my dad and say, hey, I'm going to go to that frat party and, you know, maybe get some booze. And the first weekend of school, a bunch of us went out to a frat party, and I had decided that I was going to get drunk. I'd never been drunk. I'd never really seen people drunk, but I decided that this was something I was ready to do. So my friends and I went to a couple different frat parties, and we were relatively unsuccessful. It was the first weekend of school. It was busy. And finally, we made it to one fraternity party, and I separated from my friends and went down in the basement. And they had a keg, and they had red Solo cups, and I got a cup full of beer, and I chugged it. And it was not delicious. You know, I burped some of it back up. I got another one right away and drank that. And then I went and found my friends, and they said, hey, did you find some alcohol? And I was like, no. I was already worried there wasn't going to be enough after two cups of beer. And that's the thing about alcoholism, is it's in the big book or in the doctor's opinion. It talks about it being a twofold disease. One is the obsession of the mind, which is what I had from the moment I was born, I think. And that's the stuff I just shared with you, that thinking about myself all of the time. And then the other part is the craving, the physical allergy, which shows up. They call it an allergy. And what it means is when I put alcohol in my system, all I want is more. And from that first moment, it was on. I wanted more. And I didn't have an opportunity to drink a lot because I was underage. I was busy in school. But I thought about it a lot. I thought about, when am I going to get drunk again? You know, are we going to go out this weekend? And then I had this one horrible phenomenon where my roommate and I went out to go get drunk, and we got maybe one or two beers. And we were relatively unsuccessful for the rest of the night, so we just went back to our dorm room, and she started studying. And I was incredibly uncomfortable. There wasn't enough. Like, I had just enough to maybe get, you know, a little bit of a buzz, and all I wanted was more. I wanted to be checked out, because one thing that alcohol did for me in the beginning was it quieted my mind. So all of that thinking about myself and worrying and trying to control, it went away when I drank, and I was able to just be present. But, you know, it didn't last long. I drank because I wanted to check out, and I did. And pretty quickly, I was drinking all day, every day. I got into a relationship with a guy who was older than me, so getting alcohol wasn't a problem. And I, you know, my thinking, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. That's what they say in the big book about alcoholism. And it told me that the way I was drinking was not abnormal, even though I was drinking all day, every day. It came up with the idea that it would be fun to do laundry drunk, or go to class drunk, and drive drunk, and go to work drunk. So I did that, and I only drank for 4 years, and that same guy that bought me alcohol, he was concerned about me, and he called my mother and said, I don't know what to do. So my mom came up and got me and sent me to treatment, where I learned about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't get sober right away. Like, treatment was a fun game for me. But what treatment did do was get me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, where I continued to drink and where you continued to say, it's okay if you're here drunk. We're glad you're here. And you started to love me. And you said to work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that, you know, I don't drink today, and I don't experience the allergy or the craving of alcohol. But what I do still have is that obsession of the mind I had when I was born and when I was a little girl. And the way I continue to treat that is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They teach me and have taught me to get out of myself and to get into you, to help somebody else. And that is my solution today. When I am feeling self-centered and thinking about myself, which I still do very often, and what that looks like for me is thinking less of myself. Some people have big egos, and I do too, but my big ego shows up with thinking about myself and how bad I am and how worthless I am and how full of shame I am. And the steps solve that problem for me today. And coming to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous is a great place where I get to be of service to you and help you. So my hope today is that in this short 10-minute, well, it seems short to me now, but, you know, I'm talking about myself, though, which is my favorite subject, is that, you know, maybe you can relate, those of you listening, can relate a little bit. And I encourage you to continue to come to meetings and to get the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, where these 12 steps are laid out, and work them with somebody else. And maybe you'll get some relief from your thinking, too. Thank you.